Hey, you guys, movie retrospective time. Going back to the 1980s. Big ol' frizzy hair, big ol' shoulder pads.
This was 80s?
Yeah, 87.
Yeah.
Why?
I didn't realize it was that old. I saw it when it came out.
I don't think I saw this in the theater because I think I was only 15 when this came out, but I think I saw it a year or two later, like on cable. This movie, Fatal Attraction, was massive. I mean, this was like, it only cost, like, according to Wikipedia, it only cost $14 million to make it, and it made $320 million. It was the second highest grossing movie in the U.S. after Three Men and a Baby. I think I saw that movie. I don't really remember that much about it. But it was the number one highest grossing movie in the world that year.
I think I saw it in the theater. Everybody saw it.
I kind of feel like everybody saw it. Like I said, I was a little bit young, and I don't think that was something that my parents would have taken me to see necessarily, because it's like, you know, an erotic thriller, and I'd have been like weirded out, like going to see it with my parents anyway. But you know, especially with all the weird sex scenes. But yeah,
everybody was seeing it in 87 in high school. I think I saw it. They were all talking about it. They liked it. I liked it.
Yeah,
I liked it on a first viewing. And then on subsequent viewings, it's once you kind of know, I don't know, once you've seen it, it's not as fun. Like it's fun. When this movie was new, it was the only thing like it. Now there's a lot of movies like
that. Well, and that's the thing. It's like, it's kind of not necessarily this movie's fault. I mean, yeah, there had been erotic thrillers prior to this. We're not saying that. But I kind of feel like this movie was so successful. I mean, this was nominated for Best Picture, for Christ's sake. Yeah. You know, it didn't win, but it was nominated. And Adrian Lyne, the guy that directed it, he was nominated for Best Director. Glenn Close was nominated for Best Actress. Like I said, it didn't win any, but it was nominated for a shit ton. So it was like a cultural phenomenon at the time. And I think that because it was so successful, it kind of spawned a lot of these sort of knockoff, like stalker thriller type movies that kind of came in the wake of that. Like, you know, Single White Female and stuff. And I'm not shitting on Single White Female because I actually really do like that movie. But, you know, you had stuff like, what was that one with fucking Madonna and Willem Dafoe and Body of Evidence, the one with the hot wax. I don't think I sat through that whole movie because I heard it was awful, but I mean, I don't know, it's kind of like the whole thing. Now, one thing that is interesting to me, and maybe this is another movie that we need to do because I remember this movie being really good. There was actually a movie with a very similar plot to this back in, I want to say the 70s, but I can't remember, maybe it was 77, 78, with Clint Eastwood, and it was called Play Misty For Me. Did you ever see that?
Never saw it, but I remember that.
He was like a DJ, and he had this female fan that became like obsessed with him and became a stalker. He wasn't married or anything, but it's a horror movie. It's actually really, really good. I haven't seen it in a long time, and you'd probably dig it.
Yeah.
But it's a similar story to this. So the interesting thing about this movie, like I said, it was directed by Adrian Lyne, who, as far as I know, I think he's still alive and I think he's still working nowadays, but he's kind of most famous for his movies that he did like in the 80s and 90s. Like he did Flashdance, you know, which again was a huge cultural phenomenon. 9 1/2 Weeks, you know, that really erotic thriller. Jacob's Ladder, he directed Jacob's Ladder. And he also did Indecent Proposal, which was the one with Woody Harrelson and Demi Moore, right? Where the guy comes in and says, hey, I'll give you $1 million to sleep with your wife, and they're just kind of like, maybe we should do that. But yeah, it was that kind of situation. So it's like the same director. So he's kind of known, his wheelhouse a little bit, other than Jacob's Ladder, I guess, is kind of more of these erotic thriller type situations.
This is not that erotic, though. Come on.
No, not really. But that's the genre that they would call it. I'm not saying that I find it particularly erotic, but you know what I mean? I'm just saying that's the genre.
There's barely nudity in it.
Yeah, it's like Glenn Close shows her boobs, but...
Yeah, but nobody wants to see that.
But that's about it. Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting is they actually... the first actress that they wanted for that role was Barbara Hershey, who, you know, she was in The Entity, and she was in a bunch of stuff in the 80s. And she was supposed to get that role, but Glenn Close really, really wanted it. They didn't want to give it to her for the same reason that you're saying. They're like, well, she's not like super sexy.
Yeah.
But when she came in, like she let her hair go all crazy and like with the black dress and everything, they're like, oh, okay. Cause she really wanted this part really bad. And honestly, I think that it worked out in the favor, but I don't know. I kind of feel like at the time that this came out, I don't really know. Cause like I said, I was only a teenager. I kind of feel like maybe when this movie came out, and a lot of the, you know, commentary on it afterward was kind of like about dudes like seeing the movie and being like, holy shit, I'll never cheat on my wife, because that was like a horror movie for like a dude that cheats on your wife. And it almost seemed like they wanted you to feel sorry for Michael Douglas's character, Dan, even though his dumbass is like kind of, I'm not saying that Alex Forrest, the, you know, Glenn Close's character, I mean, obviously she had some issues big time, but had he just not fucked her, then none of that would have happened.
Yeah.
You know
same
what I'm saying?
He said the other way around.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying
if
that
if you don't cheat on your husband, then he won't blow your head off.
Well, you know, I don't know about that. But well, yeah, I'm just saying, yeah, but I'm just saying
come
that
on.
It's like he ended up, well, the thing about it is that he didn't really, you know, both the characters are bad. But like I said, I think that's kind of what makes it a good movie, because nobody is really like a hero or a villain necessarily. And I will say, too, that even though the ending that you got with the theatrical cut, which is, you know, obviously everybody's, I feel like even people that haven't seen this movie like know what happens at the end. I kind of feel like the fact of her coming in like a fucking slasher villain and trying to kill Dan's wife, Beth, and then, you know, him drowning her, her popping up again like a slasher villain, and then Beth, like, shooting her in the heart and killing her. That was an ending that they reshot later, because that wasn't actually the original ending, and that wasn't the ending that the director wanted. What Adrian Lyne originally wanted, which actually was more in line with the theme of the movie, and I saw the, actually, if you search Fatal Attraction alternate ending, it's on YouTube. It's only about eight and a half minutes long. What happens in the original cut is that Alex actually commits suicide with the kitchen knife that he touched when he was over at her thing. So she kills herself, but she's trying to like frame him for the murder. So the cops come and like take him away. But then his wife, like after he gets arrested, she finds like the tape, like the audio tape that she recorded where she says she's going to kill herself and blah, blah, blah. So she presumably takes that to the cops and gets him released. So the thing about it is that, see, that would have worked out better, I feel like, because the whole underlying theme of the movie and why they used Madame Butterfly like as a touchstone was that that's what happens at the end of Madame Butterfly, like at the end of the opera, like this spurned woman and she ends up committing suicide. So it would have been thematically relevant, but I guess they showed that to test audiences and they said, no, we want the bitch to get comeuppance. We want her to get killed. So they reshot the ending. Glenn Close wasn't super jazzed about it, but she's like, you know, whatever. You gotta kind of go along with what the audience wanted, I guess. But I can see that. I don't, you know, both endings are fine. The ending, the theatrical ending is much more, like I said, like a horror movie type ending, whereas the original ending was more like a tragic kind of ending. Which actually acknowledged that, you know, even though she did some really, really psycho shit, you know, she was obviously very mentally unstable. But, you know, like I said, either way, I know a lot of people like the original ending better now that they know about it. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. So, obviously, if you haven't seen this movie, you know, Michael Douglas, he plays Dan. He's married, apparently happily married, but I guess not that happily, but he's married to this woman named Beth, who's played by Anne Archer, and they have a daughter named Ellen and a dog and all that kind of shit. So they live in New York City. He's a lawyer or something, and does she even have a job?
Who?
His wife.
I guess not.
I guess she's like a hope. I never really thought about it because it's like, I don't know. She was like out of town. So they're thinking about like moving out to the suburbs or whatever. Now the wife, she's like, oh, well, I'm going to go out and go and take the kid and we're going to go visit my parents and go look at this house that we're thinking about buying. You know, she has not been out of town for like an hour before her husband like goes and like sleeps with this. He had met her previously, like at this work party. Cause I guess she worked for, he was a lawyer for this publishing company, and she worked for the publishing company. Like, she was an editor or something. So they had met at a party, and they had a little, ooh, like, moment. But nothing happened then. But then, like, she kind of, he ends up working with her over the weekend, and they start flirting. And then, you know, obviously, like I said, his wife has been out of town for all of 2 hours, I think. And
see, it makes a woman mad.
He starts banging. Well, no, and he starts banging the chick. Well, the thing that makes me mad.
She doesn't see this scene the way a guy sees it. Okay. He's married to a younger woman. She's real cute. She's got a kid. You know, his kid. he's working with an older woman, all right, who's like a peer, all right, and they have a lot in common. She's his age. Well, she comes on to him pretty hard, but it's effective. She seduces him. He's like, well, she is out of town, and fucking this is a cool chick, and she's not going to know, and this is just above the table, just between peers, basically. We're going to hook up, and it'll be a one-time thing, and you know, she seems to be amazing and fucking, and then she'll go about her own professional path. Nah. Turned out a lot of that shit was an act. She was a fucking psycho. You can't get rid of her. All right. And she's just super, super jealous. And the whole thing was a trap.
Well, the thing about it was that, like I said, you know, and I'm not saying this is going to happen.
It was going to be free love between people of the fucking
But see,
same.
That never
that's
happens.
Not what it was.
That's never how things
right,
happen.
Right,
that's
right.
Just like usually like a fantasy. There's always yeah. people's emotions involved. Right. You don't know what that person's baggage is, obviously.
No. That girl was a fucking psycho. That woman
well, yeah.
was a psycho. There are many women just like that that are not psychos that will have a one-time thing.
Oh, I know that.
So
I'm not saying that you, but you never
yeah.
know is
you,
what
you
is
don't
what I'm
know.
Saying.
He made the mistake. He didn't know her that well.
Yeah, I mean, he had literally just met her, like, for 5 seconds,
Look,
and, you know.
I go places all the time, all right, especially go down to that biker bar, and have fucking women who fucking out of 1 to 10, there might be 7s or 8s come hit me hard. You got to say nah. There's always something up. And then a week or so later, you find out, yeah, something is up with that chick. Don't fucking... Women that don't know you will not make a hit. Will not hit on.
That's what I'm saying, and that should be
if
a red flag.
She doesn't fucking know you, and she hits on you, and it's fucking. She's like, let's go ahead and do this. You know what I mean? Fucking.
Yeah, that should be like a big.
Yeah,
you should see that red flag
there's
from
a
space.
There's
dudes.
A problem. Right.
Yeah, and
there's
the fact that I mean, some dudes would be like, "Don't they damn the consequences?" And they'll do it anyway because it's like, "Don't care, got laid." I
she's
get that,
out of money,
but
she's got problems.
There's
got
to be a
house.
Reason.
She's got.
There's
she's running from a man.
Reason.
She needs somebody to pay her bills. There's all kinds of fucking. She's crazy. There's another one. Or fucking reason number one. She's a hooker. That's the first reason.
Well, all I mean, right. that's probably
that's
the first...
That's the most common reason.
Because, like
she's
I said, 99.99%
yeah.
of the time...
If she just comes out of nowhere.
A woman that yeah. just comes out and yeah. starts hitting on you,
she's
like,
a
in
hooker.
A bar or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying 99.99% of the time she's a hooker. A lot of times it is a hooker.
Yeah.
But, you know...
No, if she's good-looking, she's a hooker.
Yeah, or, like
if
I said,
ugly,
if she's not...
desperate.
If she's not, then she has something
she's
else going
some
on.
Other shit going
because,
on,
like
right.
I said, 99.99999% of women will not do that to a
right.
dude that they don't know.
Right. But in this case, in the movie, she's a peer. She's in the same business.
Yeah.
She's the same age as him. She's being all amazing and intellectual and shit. So he thinks it's safe. It wasn't. She's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Well, I was watching a bunch of stuff earlier, and a lot of and actually Glenn Close, like, to play this role, she consulted a lot of psychologists and psychiatrists and stuff like that, being like, well, what is this, so I kind of know what the parameters of it are. And most people will tell you that this, what she has in the movie is borderline personality disorder.
Yeah, borderline personality.
She's pretty much, I mean, it's an extreme version of it, for sure.
I knew it was some kind of personality. Remember,
but
I
yeah, it's borderline
just,
personality
said,
disorder.
That must be borderline personality.
And with a touch of what they call erotomania, that's kind of like the layman's term for it. It's yeah. it's not what you think it is.
Right.
Erotomania, it doesn't mean you're a sex addict. That's something else. Erotomania means that you have delusions that somebody else, more powerful or, you know, richer or better looking or whatever, is in love with you.
Yeah.
So that's another thing, too. So that's probably what her problem is. So he has sex with this woman and... He thinks that she understands that this is just a one-time thing. Hey, I'm married, blah, blah, blah. But they have a one-night stand. He leaves. He's like, yeah, I got to go back and, like, live my life or whatever. And then, but she calls in the next day, and she's real, at first, she's, like, just real persistent. You know, it's like, oh, you know, why don't you come and we'll spend the day together? Your wife isn't coming back till later, blah, blah, blah. And he's
she
just,
tried
like,
to steal him.
And he just kind of, like, he's like, okay, fine. And then it ends up like he is fucking her all weekend and doesn't get any work done, so he has to go to work like really early and all this other kind of crap. Now, after that, like I said, he kind of thinks that it's going to be, oh, okay, it's over, we can't really see each other anymore. And she seems to understand that at first, but then obviously she starts having like a little bit of a meltdown, and then she comes and tells him that she's pregnant. And they never do say, I guess it's established that she actually is pregnant, because I couldn't remember. It had been a long time since I watched this. I'm like, now, did she just say that? Like, to sort of, but he calls her doctor, and the doctor says, congratulations. So I'm assuming that she actually was pregnant. But they never really, like, established, like, I don't know if she set it up with the doctor. Just, hey, tell him I am pregnant, you know what I mean? That seems a little crazy, but she did some crazy shit in this, so, you know, I don't know. But I thought it was established that, yeah, she actually was pregnant. Which, again, that's another dumb thing that he did. It's like, why didn't he use a condom? This was 1987, AIDS, y'all. You can't just, like, fuck. Like I said, you don't know that chick. The fact that he wouldn't even, like, use a condom, he didn't even ask her if she was on birth control. He didn't do any of that stuff. Dumb.
They were older people.
Dumb. She wasn't that old. In the movie, I don't know how old the actress was, like, but in the movie, she's supposed to be 36.
Yeah, about 40s.
And I'm like, you can absolutely still get pregnant when you're 36.
Yeah, but there was another time that was back in the 80s, and people in their 40s in the 80s weren't like us teenagers in the 80s. They were very different.
I know, but still, even if you, I mean, like I said, pregnancy was still a thing. AIDS was a thing.
And AIDS still was mostly a gay thing happening in the gay.
Or that's what most people perceived it as.
It was
in the 80s.
Yeah, in the 80s. Well, that's who was dying. And if you look at the numbers today, that's mostly who died.
But it's just kind of
straight people, but it was mostly the gay people dying.
I mean, you would think, though, that even if it wasn't for AIDS, even if it wasn't for pregnancy, that you would at least, just to be on the safe side, that you'd at least want to wrap it up, or at least ask her if she was on birth control. I'm just saying that didn't happen. So he wasn't...
It was a wild fling.
He wasn't thinking.
It was a wild fling.
And he wasn't thinking, and it ended up getting... The thing about it is that he didn't really end up having anything bad happen to him specifically. It almost seemed more like everything, it was kind of like a blast radius where it kind of like, you know, it ended up like his little girl got kidnapped, the little girl's bunny got murdered. You know, the wife ends up in a car accident because she's frantically like looking for the daughter who's been kidnapped. So it was that kind of stuff. It was almost kind of like, so it wasn't like he even got, I'm not saying he didn't get punished. I'm just saying that nothing happened to him specifically. It ended up happening to everyone around him. So it was almost kind of like just this one transgression. I think that's what really resonated with guys when they saw this movie. And Glenn Close is on record saying that she still has, like, dudes coming up to her, like, even nowadays, like, dudes that didn't see it back in the day, and saying, you know, thank you so much for making that movie. You, like, you saved my marriage, like, I was, because I was going to go cheat, and then I saw that movie, and I was like, okay, maybe not. So I get that. So it's like a horror story like that. But I think that's what resonated so much, is that you fuck up one time, and it just blows your whole entire life up, pretty much. And doesn't only put you at risk, but puts your whole entire family at risk.
Just shows you how vulnerable you are. If a person wants to fuck you over, they can. You can run into a crazy person, and they can fuck your life over.
Yeah, and like I said, because he didn't know her, you know, he'd only met her, like, a couple of times in those, you know, just at a party situation, and then, like, he just talked to her for a few minutes, like, over coffee or something. You don't know what's going to happen if you get, like, involved with that person, and then you'll be like, yeah, I don't really want to be involved with you. You never know how that person's going to react. You know what I mean? So
she carried herself well.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So it's like, you can't really... I'm not saying don't trust anybody ever, but I'm just saying that this is a reason. And I'm not saying, you know, hey, if you're single, like, go out and do whatever the hell you want. I don't care. But I'm just saying that it's sometimes better to, like, have a little bit of circumspection about... You know, how much do I know about this person? Yeah. Do I really want to get involved with this person? Are they going to, like, end up...
This movie is a worst-case scenario.
It is, yeah. But like I said, if
I've been single most of my damn life, all right? Most of the time when you run into a nut, within about 15, 20 minutes, you know you're dealing with a nut.
Yeah.
Usually they
Not always, though. Not always.
Very rare could you have a nut of this caliber. You know what I mean? She makes money. She's got a decent background. She can talk. She's real charming. Usually they're not like that. Usually a nut is running on a facade, a very thin facade. And if you're real observant, like me, because I can figure people out pretty quickly, just body language, what people are wearing, I know what's up.
And the thing about her, though,
this
is...
this one, she comes across as very successful, very sane.
Well, she was successful.
Yeah.
She had, like, a big job, and she had money. I mean, she had a nice apartment in New York City.
But here's the thing. Usually a nut can't be successful. There's a lot of other problems.
But like I said, not always.
They can't be successful, usually.
And to be honest, I kind of feel like... let's say, for the sake of argument, that he had this affair with her, and then he decided, oh, I like her better than my wife, and he decides to divorce his wife and go with her. Would that woman have, like, would Glenn Close's character have flipped out? I think she didn't really...
yeah, she'd have flipped out anyway.
I mean, she would have eventually.
Yeah.
But I think that it was engendered mostly by him rejecting her.
Yep.
And her feeling like... that he just kind of, like, you know, banged her and left, which he kind of did. And the thing about it is that the shit that she like I said, I'm absolutely not saying that she wasn't a psycho, because she was. But I'm saying that a lot of the stuff that she said to him at first was true. But it's just, you know, it didn't justify...
she was characterizing things.
It didn't justify, like, you know, she basically said he didn't really care about... he just cared about having a good time. He didn't really care about...
that's what she was offering.
Right, I know that, but he didn't really care about what the repercussions of it were going to be. That's what she meant. So I was like,
But she said neither did she, basically. So, see, this is the
thing. Well, no, like I'm saying, so they're both shitty characters. I'm not saying that. They're both shitty people. They're both shitty people.
No, it was her, not him. He was a good dude. He just fell prey to a fucking, to a predatory woman. He did. She held out the promise of a good time, and then it was that she was sophisticated. It would just be this fucking little fling, and you never see her again. That's what she promised. That's not what happened. She's fucking crazy. She broke the deal.
Well, like I said,
she broke the deal. She was a nut.
Yeah, but he shouldn't have done it.
A lot of shit people shouldn't do. Doesn't mean that they have to be fucking punished like that.
He should have.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
But that's kind of the point of the movie, though. That's kind of the point of the movie, though, is that you never know.
Right.
I mean, you never know if you're... you know what's crazy about this?
See, here's the thing. There's always this kind of thing in women to where, well, you cheated, so therefore it was okay that she killed you.
No. I didn't say that. I didn't say that either.
She tried to kill him. She tried to kill the wife, too.
Well, now, I will note that he tried to kill her first.
Yeah, but she was fucking threatening the whole family. She killed the fucking bunny rabbit. She was fucking threatening
I know that. But the thing about
it... she was dangerous.
But the thing about it was
he says, I'll fucking kill you if you don't leave.
Was that he did shit to her, too. In some ways, like... and then she would retaliate, but, like, and escalate it.
Yeah, she was totally unjustified, though, in everything she did.
Yeah, but, I'm not saying that
she
should...
she was a psycho.
Yeah, I know. But I'm not saying that she should have done any of that. I'm just saying, you know, she should have just, like, taken off, and everybody would have been just, like, happier for it. Nobody ever would have found out anything. It would have been fine. But I'm just saying that he, like, he did some shit to her first. And like I said, he actually, you know, tried to kill her first. And, you know, and then she came back, like, worse and, like, retaliated. So there was that kind of thing.
Wrong.
And, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying he handled it wrong. Honestly, and because before she did anything that was legally, because he couldn't really prove a lot of the early shit that she did. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, she threw acid on his car. It's like, we know she did that, but they can't prove it.
He's kind of, and you go
So he goes to the cops, and the cops basically says, look, we can't do anything. You made your bed. You got to lie in it.
And he's a lawyer. He should have known that. All right.
Well, yeah, but the funniest scene to me is he goes to the cops at first and pretends that he's talking about a friend or, like, a client of his. It's like, a friend, not me, did this, and then, like, trying to get advice. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was, like, super funny. But then, like, later he kind of, like, dropped that charade. But, yeah, I mean, the cop had a point. He's like, look, you know, yeah, maybe she did these things, but you can't prove it. And until you have something we can prove, then we can't do anything.
Right.
What he should have done was that when the second that she... well, one, he had the tape that she'd made. And he should have given that to the cops, number one. I don't know why he didn't. He didn't.
Because that would have been evidence in a court, and the wife would have found out.
Well, yeah, and see, that's the problem. Another thing, too, is that he should have told the wife, like, right away, and then that would have taken a lot of the air out of the sails of the whole thing.
Possibly.
Because then he wouldn't have had the continued, like, thing to...
he could have.
To have his wife not find out. Like, I think that, like, made it escalate,
too. He was in New York, though, and he had money. Okay. What he could have done is gone to some dirty PIs and put them on her case, and they could have busted her up so badly that she wouldn't have been able to work, and she'd have been driven out of business and would have had to have moved and left New York. That's what I would have done to her. Burn her car up, just break her legs.
But I mean, the thing about it is, like, I mean, if you want to go like the extra legal route, I mean, where you're going to get in trouble. But I'm just saying that he had legal recourse after, particularly after she took the daughter. I mean, she didn't hurt the daughter, but that's still kidnapping. And all you had to do, and I was watching another video about that, it's like all he would have had to do was go to the daughter and bring the daughter to the police. And show him a picture. Hey, is this the lady that took you? There you go. You can go arrest her. And she would have been in jail.
Yeah.
And none of that, like, the ending shit would have happened.
He was trying to...
And the wife already knew at that point.
Yeah.
He told the wife after she killed the bunny.
Yeah.
He told the wife after she killed the bunny.
Yeah.
So, and before the kidnapping. So he could have got her, like, for the kidnap, because that is absolutely
kidnapping.
Wouldn't
have made a good movie, though.
No, I'm just saying that in real life, you know, he should have handled it much differently than he handled it. You know, and once there became actions that, you know, like, that were actionable, like I said, kidnapping. Because, yeah, she killed the bunny. We know she did that, but you couldn't prove it unless you had,
in real,
like,
life, what happens is that the woman tries to steal the man. Okay, when she fails, the woman then contacts the fucking wife of the man and says, "I fucked around on him, this and that. He loves me. You need to leave him." And that's usually what they do.
Well, see, but that's what I was saying before about how Michael Douglas's character, Dan, his name's Dan, for Christ's sake. That's much easier to say than Michael Douglas's character. I don't know why I keep doing that, but that's initially why he started beating the shit out of her. And like I said, he did that first because she didn't do anything to him. She just said, "I'm gonna tell your wife." And then he starts beating on her, like, "No, you're not, motherfucker." So, like I said, had he just told his wife at the beginning, "Hey, I fucked around,"
he beat her, or he roughed her up.
Well, kind of the same thing.
No.
Like he pushed her against the wall, and he threatened to kill her.
Yeah, that's not beating somebody up. Beating somebody up.
No, he didn't beat her totally up. Now later on,
That's beating somebody up.
I mean, at that point, though, it's a distinction without a difference. I mean, the law is still going to see it as you know, in a various way.
One would be simple battery.
That's what I'm saying. It's still illegal. It's just like a difference of degree.
Big difference. Simple battery.
Later on, he actually tried to strangle her and was gonna kill her, but then he decided not to.
That's still simple battery.
And you know, that's the scene too, because I always kind of wondered about that, because I didn't know there was an alternate ending. But that was the scene where he almost strangled her, right? And then, like, he's like, "Oh, I better not," because you're already in hot enough water as it is. But then, like, he took the knife from her. And his, like, fingerprints were on it, and he very, like, deliberately, like, puts it down on the counter and then, like, backs away and, like, leaves, and she's, like, against the wall, like, looking at it. The reason that scene is in there is because that was the knife that she later used to slash her own throat, like, to essentially frame him for murder, because it had his fingerprints on it, because he had been there and he had touched it. So that was, like, why they put that scene in there, and then why it wasn't, like, referenced again, because the movie originally had a different ending. And it would have made more sense. But what I was going to say, too, is, like, when she kills the bunny rabbit, and like I said, I absolutely don't condone, because, like, you kill an animal, as far as I know.
Why were they leaving that bunny outside, anyway?
Well, I don't know.
Most people that have rabbits keep them indoors from
well, if it's a pet rabbit, and it's just kind of like, I feel like, I wouldn't put it outside, especially out in, like, kind of a suburban or rural area, because, like, you have dogs and foxes and other kind of shit come and, like, eat it.
I just wouldn't keep a bunny outside.
Yeah, if that's a pet bunny,
unless it was food bunny.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, the one they shouldn't have cut. I mean, probably, but the thing about it is that even if you kept the bunny inside, I mean, she obviously came inside and boiled the rabbit, so even if the rabbit was inside, she still would have got it anyway. So I think it's interesting that from this movie came the phrase, which is still in use today, bunny boiler.
Yeah.
You know, and that's referring to her character in this movie. But you know what I think is interesting is that bunny boiler, usually that always refers to a woman, right? A woman that does this kind of stuff. Even though in stalking type situations, like kind of like what this is, 75% of the time, 75% of the time, the stalker's a man. So, but there's no male equivalent of bunny boiler.
Yeah. Well, that's just a fictional thing that came out of a movie.
Yeah, I know. But it's just like, I think that's kind of interesting that we don't have a male phrase, but even though it's a lot more common, like, for males to to do this kind of like behavior, especially after they get rejected, like, you know, just statistically. I don't know. I just thought that was like kind of weird. But yeah, I mean, the poor rabbit. I was watching this other review too, like later, where the guy said the only person I feel sorry for in this movie is the rabbit. I mean, you kind of feel sorry for the wife. You feel sorry for the kid because the wife didn't do anything wrong. All she did was like go and visit. And the thing about it too, here's another thing. Had they wanted to make Dan's character more sympathetic, because he's a little bit sympathetic, but he didn't seem that sympathetic to me.
He just got sucked into some shit.
I think if they'd wanted to make him more sympathetic, what they could have done from a writing standpoint is instead of making his wife like this delightful and him being like happily married and having a happy kid and all this other kind of stuff and like a nice life, they could have made it so like him and his wife were kind of like fighting a lot or something like that, that would give you more of a reason that he would, because I think one of the problems that I have and why I don't find him that sympathetic is because I didn't really see enough of a reason that he would blow up his life just to like I said, like 5 minutes after his wife leaves town, like to hump this woman that he doesn't really know.
I'm like, she was gone.
I know, but that's sexist against men too, because it basically says, oh, men are just the worst. You can't leave them alone for a second and they'll just go like hump anything that moves. No, what I'm saying is that had they established early on that like him and his wife, oh, maybe like they were going to separate or some shit like that, like there was something going on, then you would kind of like understand, well, you know, it's not right what he did, but it's more understandable. Like to me, it just seemed like, I was like, dude, you have like a really nice wife. She seemed like y'all weren't fighting. No, you had a nice family. You got a nice house. You got money. Why would you want to like fuck it all up?
The movie's just being honest. You know what I mean? The average guys are going to be fucking tempted by some shit like that. This is like some amazing woman that has a lot in common with him, and the wife isn't around, and she's promising some free sex. It'll be all cool. Fucking no one will ever
know. Ain't nothing free, motherfuckers.
And he's like, okay, why not take a vacation from the wife, you know what I mean? And then it turns out, fucking no. She tries to steal him away from the wife, see? Basically what she tries to do. And then it's all, the whole situation gets fucked up then.
Another thing, too, and I told you this, like, at the end of the movie, I was just kind of like, if I was the wife, Beth, the Ann Archer character, I'm like, after all that shit that he put me through, no way would I take your ass back. Oh, it's all forgiven. Fuck that. No fucking way. I was like, almost got me killed. You got our kid kidnapped. You got the bunny killed.
Yeah, I think she's just happy to have her family back.
I guess, but it's like, I don't know. I don't think I'd be as forgiving as her, but she just seemed like, I was like, man, that is one saintly-ass woman that would put up with that crap, like, after all of that, but...
Well, I think she just saw that other chick and realized how fucking crazy she was, and she was just like, oh, yeah, well, you know, fucking, he learned his lesson.
He won't do that again. Maybe that's why she's like, well, maybe now he's trained.
Yeah.
But it's like after he had that experience. I'm just saying that I like this movie. I really do. I think it's a good movie. You know, I think it's still kind of, and it's funny because I was watching some other like reviews of it by people that were like not even born when it came out, and a lot of them really liked it. I saw this one like Canadian guy who actually was a film major. And he was talking about all kind of like the way the shots changed like over the course of the film, like as the tension like escalated and stuff. And he like really, really dug it.
Yeah, it's so, a well-crafted movie.
It is. It is very good. And Adrian Lyne, like I said, I've liked a lot of his films. I haven't seen any of his newer ones. But, you know, I kind of have a soft spot for Flashdance and I love Jacob's Ladder.
It's a good movie. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. But in my opinion, there's another movie that is kind of like this that I like a lot better, called Cape Fear. One with fucking Robert
De Niro. I mean, that's not exactly the same.
It's a stalker movie.
Yeah, it's a stalker movie, but it doesn't have anything to do with adultery.
No.
It's more like, he's getting back at the lawyer's family,
dude,
like, that put him away.
Dude gets out of prison and fucking he takes revenge on his lawyer who fucking evidently didn't.
Now, were we talking about the Robert De Niro one or the original one?
I like the
one.
Robert De Niro one.
They're both good. I mean, they're both good.
That Robert De Niro one I thought was really good, just because that the way Robert De Niro pulled that character off. He's an ex-con who comes out and he wants revenge on his lawyer because his lawyer didn't give him an adequate defense, and I guess it was on purpose that he didn't give him an adequate defense. And he's like, he was guilty, and he never even said he was innocent. He was guilty.
Which, like I said, to me, that seems like crazy. He's like, I was guilty and I went to prison, but
you didn't defend me.
But you didn't defend me is good enough, so I'm going to come out and, like, show you that I'm an absolute psychopath who absolutely should be in prison.
He could have gotten off.
Yeah.
He had some piece of evidence. I forgot exactly what it was. The lawyer had a certain, his defense attorney had a piece of evidence.
Yeah, that's right.
That would have gotten him off, but he hid that piece of evidence from everybody. To make sure that he went down, even though he was defending him. He was a rapist.
Yeah.
But he had a piece of evidence.
But see, the thing about that, though, is that I can see the lawyers, like, it's not ethical, for sure, like, hiding evidence. But if you know that he's guilty, you're kind of like, well, I could let him get off, and then he might go out and, like, rape and maybe murder other people.
No, he did kind of the moral thing.
That's what I'm saying. And it's like, it's not legal or really ethical from the career standpoint, but it's like, it's probably morally the right thing to do.
Right. Well, that was the thing. It's kind of critical of the criminal justice system and legal systems. There's problems in them.
On
both sides. You know,
You kind of see that too. I mean, you see that a little bit because I guess this, Fatal Attraction doesn't have like a lot of the cop stuff, but I do kind of feel like he does go to the cops at one point before she's really done anything, like I said, actionable. Yeah, we know she's done some shit. Yeah, she poured acid on his car. Yeah, she killed the rabbit. Yeah, she did that, but they couldn't prove it. So at that point, like, the cops, so in a way, they were kind of talking a little bit about, particularly in stalker situations, a lot of times stalkers know exactly what they can get away with without getting in trouble with the police. You know what I'm saying? And I think that was kind of the situation here, although she didn't really seem to care all that much.
Yeah.
But...
And it's the same thing with Cape Fear, with the one he was doing that a lot. He knew how to get around the law so nothing could happen to him. When he was in prison, he became basically learned everything about the law. He was equivalent to a lawyer. And he was, and he knew everything about police investigative techniques and everything. It's a good movie. It's a good movie. It's different than this one, though. It's man on man.
Well, I was gonna say this is like,
but
not,
it is a stalker movie.
It is, but it's not really the same vibe or anything like that. Although I absolutely think that we should do Cape Fear because I really, really do like that movie.
Yeah.
Honestly, what would be good is if we could watch both of them, but like both versions and like do a thing on that. But like I said, I think the most similar to this one that I've seen and that I can think of is probably Play Misty for Me, the Clint Eastwood movie from the 70s. It's very, very similar. Like I said, it doesn't have the adultery aspect because as far as I remember, like Clint Eastwood's character in that was just a single guy. And he has like an obsessed fan that he actually does hook up with, but then like she turns out to be a psycho later on. So it doesn't have, like I said, it doesn't have the whole like adultery aspect to it. So again, like you're a lot more sympathetic in that movie. You're a lot more sympathetic to Clint Eastwood's character, like the male character, because he wasn't, he wasn't fucking anyone else over. He was a single guy. He's like, hey, she's a single girl, and they had a thing, and then it wasn't really his fault that she flipped out on him and was a stalker and was crazy, and he didn't know that. I kind of feel like in this movie, he's less sympathetic because he had a nice family and a nice life who he was going to be hurting by doing this.
Movie
and
would not have been a good if he was single, though. Just wouldn't.
No, I know. It would have been a different movie.
Because
talking about the quality of the movie. I'm just saying that he would have been a more sympathetic character.
Him being married with a wife and kid, with a young, good-looking wife and kid, raised the stakes for him.
See, yeah.
He had a lot more to lose.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so that's what makes this more a horror movie than...
I agree with the movie, the way the movie went, and I agree with the way they did the character, and he was morally ambiguous, that's what makes the movie good.
That's what I'm saying, and that's what I liked about it. I'm just saying that I liked that, like, neither one of them were really all that great people. I mean, obviously she was like really crazier than him, but it's like, he obviously fucked up a lot, big time as well.
He was a flawed man.
So, I'm just not saying that. I'm just saying that it seemed to me like the movie, and I don't know, maybe I'm reading into it, but it seemed to me like the movie wanted him to be more sympathetic than I found him. That's all I'm saying. And I was like, if you wanted to make him sympathetic, I don't think that would be good for the movie. Because I think the movie is good the way it was. But if you wanted to make him more sympathetic, there would have been ways to do that.
It was late 80s, boomer generation was really who it was targeted at.
Yeah.
They cheated on each other. They just did. That's just the way it was.
Trying to, like, scare him straight.
No, I don't even think so. They just took the shit. Yeah, that's how it is. Fucking, growing up in Brazil, I mean, fucking every... if you were a married man and fucking you had a wife and kid and a good career and you had a mistress too. It was just part of the culture. And the wives knew.
Which, yeah, but see, that's the kicker, though, is that I don't have a problem with it as long as the wives know about it.
Yeah, well, the wives usually don't know the mistress; they just assume.
No, I'm just saying that it's like it's quite different. Like I said, I don't have a problem with it as as a rule. I'm just saying that it's all about like expectations.
Yeah,
like if you know that your husband is running around on you and you're fine with it,
he's not running
and
around.
You're allowed to.
He's got a personal secretary.
But you know what I mean. Like, I'm just saying, like, if everybody knows about it, then it's fine.
Yeah.
The problem evolved, like, the problem arises, like, when one person thinks, oh, this person is, is monogamous, and they're not monogamous, and they're trying to keep it from you.
Right.
So I think it's more like the
American way is to fucking lie and to cheat.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I have the problem with. It's not so much the fucking around, it's the lying about it that's the problem.
Well, the Latins lie, too. Oh, baby, you know, there's nothing going on, but the fucking they know. But it's just that's just in the culture. But the thing is that a lot of times the wives don't care because that means they got another woman to help them pick up the slack. They're sick of fucking that dude. You know what I mean?
The thing about this movie though is that obviously the wife had the expectation that he was not fucking around, that he was like there with the family. So you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because she was mad when she found, understandably and justifiably so. But I'm just saying that, that's a whole different kettle of worms, like when you're talking about kettle of fish, of worms, whatever.
Can of worms.
I said kettle of worms.
Yeah.
Same diff. But so that's kind of where it arises. It's more like lying about it than the actual thing. If everybody knows what everybody's up to, then you can't really say anything.
Yeah.
But I think it's just like,
or they just know how it goes.
But like I said, if you're like lying to other people's face and like, you know, and trying like not to get caught and shit like that, which Dan absolutely was in this movie. Like he threatened to kill Alex when she said, "I'm going to call your wife and tell her that I fucked you."
Yeah.
So he obviously didn't want his wife to find out because he knew that she would be mad and that it would ruin his life and that she might take his kid away. You know what I'm saying? Which probably would have happened.
Evidently, the Chinese are just like that too. All the married guys have mistresses. That's us, but you know, it's not just fucking American culture and South American culture.
Well, it's lots of places.
They say that China is like that big time. China, Japan.
I've heard that France is a lot like that too, I don't really know. I was having never been there myself.
Yeah.
And only having known one
or
two French
people.
It's
just a big clusterfuck. Everybody's just fucking everybody.
That's what I mean. But like I said, I don't have a problem with that at all, as long as everybody knows what's going on.
It's got a flow chart.
I just don't like
charts.
Yeah. I just don't like people being left in the dark or maybe telling your significant other, "Oh, I'm totally faithful to you," and then like fucking everything that moves.
Well,
it's like then I have a problem with that. But it's like if everybody knows, then it's fine.
In Brazil, though, fucking the cultural expectations was that you have to defend your wife's honor to her face. So you're supposed to lie to her, but the wife knows that you're lying. That's that kind of deal.
It's very complex.
It's complicated. Because Catholicism involved in honor cultures and shit.
I get it.
But it's superficial. Everything's kind of, but emotionally driven, but superficial on certain things.
Yeah. Well, I feel like everything, those kind of cultures, it's usually, like, a lot about appearances.
Yeah, appearances.
Like, you can kind of do, like, all kind of fucked up shit, like, under the radar, as long as, like, everything looks all respectable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like that.
Because, I kind of feel like the South used to be like that, too. Not so much anymore, but it used to be.
Yeah, it depends on where you go.
Well, in a particular, I'm talking more about, like, real religious areas.
Oh, yeah.
Like, people would be, like, all kind of fucked up shit, but as long as you, you don't want everybody knowing you're doing the fucked up shit, but everyone's doing the fucked up shit.
Right, the fucking...
You just don't want it to look
Southern
like
Baptist,
you are.
The Southern Baptist minister is the one getting all the action in the whole town. He's got 7-8 girlfriends.
Everybody knows, but it's like, it's gauche to talk about it.
Because he's the local celebrity, you know?
Right.
Basically.
So it's like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so where do we watch? We watch Fatal Attraction. It's on HBO Max at the moment. I think it might also be on Amazon Prime. Not entirely sure, but that's where we watched it.
Yeah.
And I was actually like quite happy. I saw this like a million times, like on cable back in the late 80s and early 90s, and I think it held up like pretty well, but since it came out there have been a lot of other movies like this, so it might not be I don't know. It might not be as, like, iconic as it was. Because, like, if, like I said, it was a massive cultural phenomenon when it came out, like, back in the 80s. It's kind of like the OG.
It's kind of like
the OG. Like I said, yeah, Play Misty for Me was kind of like this, too. But it's not exactly the same because it doesn't have the 80s yuppie adultery angle to it.
This one's real well-crafted, too.
It is. It's a nice-looking movie, like, the way the shots are composed.
It's aged real well.
Looks nice, yeah. I mean, like I said, Glenn Close has, like, super fucking 80s hair and big shoulder pads and stuff, but that was just kind of like par for the course back then.
Yeah, it's vintage.
It's
taking you back to 87.
It's retro. Because that's when it was.
It was
1987. But yeah, so I'm sure probably most people have seen this, or at least know, because it kind of really penetrated the cultural zeitgeist, I guess. So it's like, I feel like most people, even if you haven't seen it, you've still kind of seen it. But yeah, tell us what you think about it in the comments. And that'll do it for this movie retrospective. We will see you guys on the next one. Bye.